fruits of the Spirit. And love to have you come. If it's the first time, that's great. If it's the 20th time, that's the great. Just come and join us.
Our senior high Sunday school class this year has been studying the New Testament, and we're at a point in our curriculum where the church is just being formed. Christ has died, and the early Christians are wondering, how do they worship? They're afraid, and so today our class is actually going to experience one of those very early house worship services. Jim Mosgraver is here, and he's put together an incredible role play to help our class experience that through play. We're going to have it here in the worship center. It's going to start shortly after the fellowship time down in the fellowship hall has ended. So we invite the congregation to come into the sanctuary and be a part of this experience. The youth and some adults will be playing different roles in this early church house worship. Thank you.
Our summer information for Kent Whitman is out already, and so if you're interested in going to camp, sending your kids to camp, any combination thereof, there's information out there with the pamphlets and also on the kiosk. Youth group is today. We have junior high youth group right after Sunday school, so don't go anywhere. We're going to grab pizza, and then we're going to go play glow golf. Senior highs next week are going to go bowling. This time, it will not blizzard. Keisha's presenting a special Fusion Room activity today, so parents of the K-3 class, just go ahead and pick your kids up from Sunday school at room 4, the Fusion Room, because they're going to be there. And we have a young adult service activity coming up, so college students, 20s, 30s, come join us on Saturday, March 28th from 11 to 1. We're going to be going to Imagine It Recycling and getting donated cell phones and printer cartridges ready. Thank you.
Katie will practice grace with you. She obviously doesn't understand how Rochester weather works. And so when the blizzard comes next weekend, we know who to thank. A note about worship this morning, you will see in your pews, there should be one in each pew, a black hymnal. That is a larger print hymnal. So for those who would like to utilize that, that is what that is there for. Two other announcements this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all those who showed up on Friday and all day Saturday to prepare an amazing Jamaican meal that was served in Lyons to the Haitian and Jamaican farm and rural workers. It was an amazing mission experience connecting our international partnership to serving our neighbors here locally. And we served over 42 people there in Lyons, and that was just word of mouth and who showed up. It was a wonderful experience. So thank you to everyone who participated in that. Another opportunity this afternoon, immediately following worship, after fellowship time, you will see in your bulletin the Spiritual Journeys Committee presents their second leg of end-of-life issues. If you missed the first leg last week about planning funerals, you will see a blue packet out in the hallway on the brochure rack, and you are welcome to take one of those. But today we will be discussing grief and hospice and palliative care. Especially the difference between hospice and palliative care can be very confusing for folks right in the midst of it. And we are so blessed to have a wonderful and talented nurse practitioner here in the congregation whose experience is in palliative care. Bridget Wohlers will be leading us, and also a colleague from Lifetime Care. So please join us in the adult lounge today. A lot going on, so many wonderful ministries. Friends, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. People of God, gather today in this sacred space, in this sacred moment.
Here we recall the stories of faith and remember that God leads us in the wilderness of our lives.
God's love reaches through the darkness of our lives to embrace us.
God sent Christ to dwell among us, worthy of flesh in space and time.
God brings us together to share that love in the midst of our struggles. Connecting in community, we celebrate the light of God in Jesus.
Join together in this time of worship and remember the goodness and light of God. We also come before God with our own darkness, the darkness we feel individually and together as a community. Please share together in the prayer of confession written in your bulletin. O God of comfort and God of challenge, we come to you this morning the way the Israelites did. Full of complaints and dissatisfaction. Nothing is enough. We do not recognize your blessing at work in our day-to-day lives. Forgive us when we become so comfortable that we moan and groan about the most insignificant details of our lives. In our complaints, challenge us as you did the Israelites.
to consider the bigger picture of oppression, injustice, and inequality around us. Forgive us when we close our eyes for fear of what you might show us. Keep sending loving and compassionate leaders to open our eyes until we see what you see in our world. Spirit moves in and through us, calling us to connect to one another in this wilderness world. We do so with signs of Christ's peace. A reminder, those doves in your bulletin are for you to share a prayer request. During the passing of the peace or following worship, you may come up and exchange your dove, your prayer, and please take one with you to be in prayer over the upcoming week. Let us stand now and share signs of Christ's peace with one another.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Oh, thank you so much. Peace be with you. And to you. I'm not sure that's biblical, but we'll go with it. Peace be with you, my dear. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Were you racing yesterday? How did you do? You did not. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Welcome to come forward at this time. Mic on.
Good morning, everybody. I've got a question for you today. What is this? What does this say? Yeah, what?
La.
La. Yep, we got an L, we got an O. La. What can I do with that?
I know what the word actually is supposed to say.
Can you keep it a secret?
Yes.
Thank you. What can I do with la? What do you think? Look. All right, we can get look. What else? You can do LOL. Yes. What else?
A V and a E to make it love. That's a good idea. Do you think that'll work?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to take this flashlight and see what we can do with this. What do you guys see? Yeah, love. Oops, I put it on the back. So sometimes we've got a little bit of love, but we need some light and some help to actually see all of the love that's in the world. So sometimes it can be hard to see how much God loves us each and every day. So then what do we do if we need to see a little bit more and shine light on how much God loves us? Could we come to church? Maybe. What else? You got something? You can give to the wall of food. Yeah. Show other people how much God loves them. And we can hear stories about how much God loves us and talk to the people here, and they'll tell us that God made us very special and loves each and every one of you every day. Can you guys remember that? All right. No, you can't remember God loves you? All right, we need a buddy. Who's going to tell him that God loves him? Who's going to do it? You got this? All right, right after this, okay? And next Sunday. All right, let's go ahead and pray together. Everything? You remember everything? Okay, then we're good. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love others. Amen. All right, time for Sunday school.
First reading of the word is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up to Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it up upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live.
In our second scripture reading for this morning, quite possibly the most familiar words from the Bible, from the Gospel of John. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And for all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the word of the Lord. When my daughter turned 7 in October, Matt and I asked her what she wanted for her birthday. She told us that she wanted her bedroom painted so it would feel like she lived in the sky. This is a perfectly reasonable request coming from this youngest daughter. And thank goodness for Pinterest, where I learned how to make clouds out of pillow batting and discovered I could purchase a nightlight that projected a rainbow onto her wall. But choosing the paint was a whole nother matter. So one day after work, I stopped over at Home Depot, and I was overwhelmed by the number of paint choices. So I grabbed at least 20 of those little strips that I thought looked like blue sky, and I brought them home, and I gave them to Nora. And of course, it took a few days before the sky actually turned blue. And she sat outside and held up the paint samples to the sky. It's a long process before she finally chose one. Now, this is quite a different experience than what the mission team who set out here from GPC had when we were at the hardware store in Negril, Jamaica, choosing the paint color for the church in Santoy. The church leadership team gave us a vague idea, using my head wrap as a guide to the orange, and followed up by saying, whatever they have. I'm thinking, whatever they have? So walking into this hardware store, you need to get your mind out of Home Depot. Looks nothing like that. Imagine yourself instead walking more into a pharmacy. Say you're going to Rite Aid, but take out all of the aisles of everything and just have the counter where you walk up to and say, I'd like to buy some orange paint. They hand you one little strip with five colors, and right, you point to one. Painter's tape? No problem. Here you go. No price or brand comparison needed. No choice. This is what we have. Now, on most days, if you were to ask me which situation I would prefer, and if I want choices about what I wear or what color I put on a wall, what I eat, I would say, of course I want to have choices. And I've shared with you a little book that I absolutely love by Barry Schwartz called The Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less. And the book is all about how our consumerist society here in America and throughout the Western world has produced so many products by which we may choose that we're actually paralyzed by the number of choices. And Schwartz argues that this complex matrix of everyday choices has conspired to reduce our happiness, to make us uneasy, unsure. And he argues that extensive choices actually make us question our decisions, even before we make them. Schwartz says that while having some choice is almost always better than having none, having lots and lots and lots of choices is not better than just having some, and can actually be worse. During this season of Lent, we've taken the last few weeks to examine how the wilderness of choices are available to us all around, including the very realistic examination of choices that we make that are quite often sinful. Using the words we will say from the brief statement of faith in just a few moments, it describes our sinful choices that include when we rebel against God, when we hide from our Creator, ignoring God's commandments, when we violate the image of God in others and ourselves, when we choose to accept lies as truth, we choose to exploit neighbor and nature, when we choose to threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. And the words of our most contemporary confession of the Presbyterian Church states very clearly the implications of our sinful choices. We deserve God's condemnation. They're not the easiest words to say or to hear. Our scripture text this morning from the third chapter of John lulls us into this bumper sticker familiarity of verse 16, and little attention is paid to the context of Jesus' words. I can only imagine the level of discomfort poor Nicodemus is feeling as he tries to make sense of the choices he has between condemnation and salvation as Jesus shares them with him. See, Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, and he comes to Jesus in the cover of the night. He wants to understand who Jesus is, what he's doing. See, Nicodemus has seen and recognized Jesus' ability to perform signs or miracles and is convinced this is an indication of God's presence, imminent presence with them in this time and in this place. Jesus, of course, doesn't answer his question clearly at all. In the verses just preceding the ones we read, there is all this beautiful language of being born from above, the water and the Spirit. But essentially, when we could boil it down a bit, says to Nicodemus, "That's nice that you see it that way. But there is more to the kingdom of God than a few miracles." And then we hear the verses we did this morning. And this, my friends, is where the centuries of theological debate have ensued. They have argued over and over again for and against the importance of our choice to accept God's grace through faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior, or not. And despite the familiarity and the joy and the comfort verse 16 brings to us, the real energy has always been about, really, what are we going to do as people? What are we going to choose? What are we going to choose to believe? Denominational lines have been drawn around this. Wars have been waged in attempt to choose for others and rigidify the dynamic tension that Jesus lays out for Nicodemus between grace and faith, salvation and condemnation. So wherever you might fall on the theological spectrum, the debates between John Calvin and Jacob Arminius, or even if you have no idea who those people are, it's okay. Because there's more to these verses than understanding our choices in the wilderness. What if these verses are about more than just our choice to act in faith or not? What if they're an invitation to prayerfully reflect about God's choices? What does it mean to believe in a God who could choose condemnation, but instead chooses love? What difference does it make in our world that God chooses to send Jesus into the world to reveal that choice to love? Obviously, Nicodemus is really confused by Jesus' response to all this. And it gets even more confusing when Jesus moves into this analogy between Jesus and the quasi-magical snake totem. It confuses Nicodemus and it confuses us. But what if we were to take, for just a moment, and to think, to pray, to experience and to live into God's choice to love So I'm not going to bore you with exegetical and theological analysis to talk about Jesus' point. I'm going to share a story with you. A story, one story of many that I'm sure you could tell as well, of what it means for our life of faith to believe in God who again and again chooses love over condemnation. And I chose this story this morning because the story honors a man who truly transformed the art of preaching in the 21st century and who died last week at the age of 86. Fred Craddock was born in rural Tennessee, and he grew up with preachers who filled sanctuaries for decades with three main points. You may even remember this kind of preaching, and multiple sub-points, and then maybe a poem to bring it all back around. And these preachers told people what they were going to hear, and then told them what they were hearing, and then told them how to hear it again, but never really stopping to notice that people stopped listening after the first summary. And Craddock realized that what keeps most of us from choosing to live for Jesus is not a lack of information or the choices to do so. He invited preachers to stop just giving the information and start really telling the stories of faith. And one of the stories that Craddock told was about his father, who spent years of his life ignoring the choice God makes to love the world. And Fred would say that when the pastor used to come to my mother's church to call on him, my father would say, "You don't care about me. I know how those churches are. You want another pledge, another name, right? Another name, another pledge. Isn't that the whole point of church? Get another name, get another pledge." And my mother would nervously run around the kitchen crying for fear that someone's feelings would be hurt. And when the church had an evangelistic campaign, the preacher would bring the evangelist and introduce him to my father and then say, "Get him, get him." And my father would always say the same thing. "You don't care about me. Another name, another pledge. I know about these churches." I guess I had heard it about 1,000 times, Craddock writes. And one time, he didn't say it. He was at the Veterans Hospital, and he was down to about 74 pounds. They had taken out his throat and put in a metal tube and said to him, "You should have come earlier, but this cancer is awfully far advanced. We'll give you radium, but we don't know." And I went in to see him. And in every window, potted plants and flowers. Everywhere there was a place to set them, potted plants and flowers. Even in that thing that swings out over your bed that they put the food on, there was this big arrangement of flowers. And there also next to his bed was a stack of cards, 10 or 15 inches deep. And I looked at the cards sprinkled in the flowers. I read the cards beside his bed. And I want to tell you that every card, every blossom, every potted plant came from groups, Sunday school classes, women's groups, youth groups, men's Bible classes, all of them from my mother's church, every one of them. And my father saw me reading them. He could not speak, but he took a Kleenex box and he wrote something on the side from Shakespeare's Hamlet. He wrote, "In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story." I said, "What is your story, Daddy?" And he wrote, "I was wrong." Sometimes it's not until we are on the receiving end of experiencing God's choice to keep loving us does the gospel really become the good news for all the world. The situations where God extends God's love are complex and numerous, but the choice God makes is simple. And whether they are summed up with your favorite verse, John 3:16, or my personal favorite words from our book of confessions, in the brief statement of faith that says, loving us still, the good news for us all. Thanks be to God. So I invite you at this time to share these words together. In your hymnal, turn to page 37. We will be reading section 3, which starts at the bottom of page 37, but does continue on to the next page on 38. So if you would stand, please, and let us share our faith together. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator. Ignoring God's commandments, we violate the image of God in others and ourselves. Accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation. Yet God acts with justice and mercy to redeem creation. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still.
now is our time to come together in love and lift up the people that we love the most, the ones we are grateful for, the ones we worry for, and the concerns that weigh heavy on our hearts. Who has something that they'd like to share with us today?
Prayers for Chris Arcara and Tom. Tom's father died this week, so prayers for the family.
Now there we go.
We're good and awake, though, so that's good.
Do I get fired now?
No. You keep hoping, Tom.
Try again.
First, I want to thank you for your prayers for all these months. You've been holding me up in prayer. We finally have one answer to my sicknesses. There are many sicknesses, but the first one we found out is I have something wrong with my heart. But this is not a surgical thing, we think, at this point. This is an electrical impulse problem. I was started on a medication for that. It'll be 2 weeks this coming Tuesday. And last week, for the first time in 6 months, I was able to carry out all the things I normally do for the week. Now, that didn't mean I wasn't exhausted when I came home. But the fact that I was able to do it and do it with a clear head, I'm very thankful. Keep up the prayers. We still don't know why I lost 40 pounds. I like the weight off. I don't want it back. But we need to know why. And then lastly, I just want to tell you, the choir, that I can't be with now because of your change in system, how wonderful you sound. It is a real gift to me to be able to hear you and listen to you, because I've always been a part of a choir, never heard the choir. And now in this situation, my dizziness, there's no way I can be there at 8:30, because dizziness is the major problem I have with the heart. But you are just fantastic. I have never heard be better.
Our presbyter, Susan Orr, lost her mother. She passed away this week. So prayers for Susan and her family.
David Keeling, prayers of concern for my grandfather, Harry Buff. This past week, doctors found a tumor on his bladder. So it's a small tumor, which is good news, but he goes in for surgery a week from Wednesday. So prayers. Thank you.
Prayers for your grandfather.
Donna Schott, I was going to say how much I love the choir as well. Like J-Lo says, I had goosies. It was awesome. And also, we have many joys this month of March in my family for many birthdays. One is my dad. He had a birthday last week. So just prayers of joy.
Amen.
March was fall. I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my granddaughter. She just finished her fifth operation and is not doing very well. Thank you very much.
Any other prayers? Oh, one here.
Cam Mossgraber, I would like to add to the requests of the children to support the Lenten Wall of Food. Many of you know I work in a city school, and the other day a group of kindergartners said, "He took that banana out of the garbage." Please, I'm in a school that I'm blessed. We have the Food Link Backpack Food Program. So I told this little guy, you need food. Check with me. We'll take care of that. So please, it support that program. Thank you.
Valter Ushan,
As most of you know, our son, Omar Roshan, is on his final leg in seminary school. He graduated May 27th this year. However, he has had several interviews for position, and he has to make some tough decisions. And we ask for your prayers for clarity for him. And I told him God will take him where he needs to be. So please keep him in your prayers and thoughts. Thank you.
Continued prayers for Omar.
I'd like you to pray for my son's mother. She had a rare surgery on Friday, an intestinal transplant, a rare surgery. But she was up Saturday, sat in a reclining chair for a little while. Then she will need several months of prayer.
And I would like to ask for prayers for the Christian church in Pakistan who were bombed this morning with 14 dead and many wounded.
Our brothers and sisters in Pakistan.
Hannah Walker, I want to thank everybody for prayers and some cards I did get and some soup and stuff that was brought to me that I love. Mm-hmm. And I sure don't want to come in a year like I just went through.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let us all pray together. Creator God, where once we sat by the edge of the way, now we can pull up a chair next to you and rest our lives on you. Where once we hungered for love and thirsted for compassion, now we are filled at your table. Healing hope, your grace flows through us each and every day. Loving God, reach out to those who are sick, those who are healing, and those who are grieving. Give comfort to them and strength for their journey. In every hour of every day, we are tempted to sit back. But God, you put us to work, caring for the outsiders. When we are tempted to mutter our way through each moment, you teach us faithful songs of grace. Loving Spirit, your peace surrounds us each and every day, and for that we give thanks. God, remind us of your passion for the world, and let your love inspire us into thankful service and choices that reflect your love to each and every person we meet. We know you are with us every day, God, even as we pray the way your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now I'm starting to think the bell's a conspiracy to make sure we're done at 11 o'clock. So, but we'll see what happens next week before I form a theory on that one. Friends, we come together knowing that God has blessed us with this community and our time together and many, many blessings. Let us entrust back to God a portion of those blessings with our morning offering.
Just watch somebody doesn't join.
God of the wilderness, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts, with open hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Loving us still. What better benediction do we need than to know in our hearts and in our very lives we go from this place confident that no matter what, God loves us still. go confident in that love, saved in the love of Jesus Christ, and moved by the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us going now and always. Amen.